Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 32. Hear God's word. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, I want to direct your attention to the last portion of verse 35. Once again, my words will not pass away. And Jesus sets that in this Olivet Discourse over against the second coming. And in that context, he puts these words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I'd like us to think about those words in that short verse as we look together at God's word this morning. So often we pass over things that are snippets, small words, sentences, small things. Some things take a while to appreciate. That was true with Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Read a book recently about Lincoln at Gettysburg. In that book, it described a lot of things. It told about Lincoln being asked really at the last minute to come to Gettysburg, and he did. And then at the last minute, he was also invited to speak. So the Gettysburg Address, as we have called it, was really prepared the night before in pencil on a piece of paper by the President of the United States. And it was kind of reflected on that evening, but it was a pencil copy that he took with him as he presented it. And you also have to know that in presenting his address, he came right after Mr. Everett, who was a scholar of high renown, and he spoke for, I think it was almost an hour, and gave a wonderful address. Unless you have the book, nobody knows about it. But the Gettysburg Address, we hear kids speaking it as they memorize it, and then they speak publicly in classrooms. It's a very short address. It takes about 3 minutes to say the whole thing. But it's profound. It's a profound snippet conversation, a profound conversation that has been recorded in our history. And most people know it by some of the phrases that are in it, especially at the end, a government of the people, a government by the people, and a government for the people, depending on which of the five or four written copies of that address that you look at. We remember those things. Have you read this passage? And does this word stick out to you? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I want those words to remain with you. And we want to look at them more carefully this morning. Christ is saying that his words are eternal. Now, Lincoln's words weren't eternal. They'll be remembered for a long time. Mr. Everett's words, you'll have to look it up. FDR spoke after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and we know something of the first words of his address to the nation, but we don't remember the entire portion. And those words are going to be remembered for a long time. They're historical, but you'll have to look them up in history books. Famous people and authors have great words, and they will outlast them, as Lincoln and FDR and others. And sometimes those persons have words that are worth quoting again. Sometimes later on in history, people will refer to it, and they will tie those famous things together. But no words have the eternal worth that the words of Jesus Christ have. And his words are eternal. Now, some of his contemporaries, of course, thought he was conceited or deluded. Remember, they said he was possessed of a devil. His enemies decided that there was no place for his claim in the universe, And we know a few chapters later in Matthew's gospel, the 27th chapter, they put together a plot to murder him. But nevertheless, a great number of people throughout generations have insisted that Jesus spoke the truth. And the truth that he states here underlines the certainty and the permanence of what he is saying. Heaven and earth have lasted through many lifetimes. And so often we look at heaven and earth and all that we see, the beauty of this day even, and we think this is permanent. We'll go past the cemetery and the people that are buried there may have looked out and saw the same thing that we see, and they may have thought, oh, this earth and its beauty is wonderful. But Jesus says that this heaven and earth will pass away. We know that they are going to pass away. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Jesus says all of these things will pass away. But my words will not pass away. There is a far-reaching claim that he makes about his person, as well as the end of the world, which the scripture addresses. But what Jesus says will in the end have its fulfillment, and it will last forever. Now, how do you know these words are eternal? How do we know that Jesus and his words are eternal? He lived for 33 years on this earth. We have the Gospels before us that tell us he never traveled extensively. He identified with the lower classes of people. He only drew a few followers to him, and they were illiterate for the most part. Some were just crude fishermen. He never held a public office, thankfully. He didn't own property. He lived largely off the charity of others and was not recognized by the scholars of his own time. No formal education or training. He didn't carry around a library of books on his back. He never wrote a book, or his sermons were not published, at least in his lifetime. But he boldly asserted that his words would outlast the heavens and the earth. And they have, haven't they? They have lasted well beyond his lifetime for thousands of years. Millions have trusted in his words. The world has acknowledged the immortality of his teaching. They acknowledge the Sermon on the Mount as a beautiful sermon and words within it that are wonderful and true. The only explanation that we can have of the fact that Jesus' words continue is that Jesus was either conceited and demented, as some thought, or that he was, as he claimed, God and man in one person. And that is what Scripture teaches. He is God and man. He came from eternity. He took his place in the stream of time. He stands there before us in the Scripture as the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one who came to be the Savior, who would die upon the cross, but yet risen from the dead. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for him, the thousands of years that have passed since he lived upon this earth are passed as but a day. For a day is but 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but a day to God. We know that his words are eternal because they last, and they will continue to last until this heaven and earth is swept away and the new heaven and the new earth is established. And so if these words are eternal, if these words have continued to last, and if his word continues to be true, and if his word is eternal, then we had better listen carefully, very carefully, to the words that Jesus gave us. He is the Lord. The scripture teaches us that. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He is the Alpha, the Omega. Our lives are an open book to him. He knows everything that we do. He knows our sins, our need of salvation from them. Nothing escapes his watchful eye. He has come into this world, according to Scripture, to overcome evil for us. And he made atonement for us upon the cross of Calvary. And he has mastered death by his mighty power of the resurrection, so that those who know him now and have known him since are able to say, I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the past or the future, or any power, height or depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We stand firmly upon the truth of His Word, that His Word reminds us that He is there and He will keep us forever. He's the foundation of our faith. He is the one who is our only comfort in life and in death. He is changeless amidst the changing scenes of time. His truth is timeless. His truth was applicable for the Pharisees and the Sadducees of His day to those today who live in this world. His word is timeless. And the faith in Him, therefore, cannot be shaken because He is the eternal God. And the truth of His grace will withstand every assault, every doubt, every test. Nothing will stop it. His truth will last forever. And so our faith cannot be affected by that. Our faith will rest in that truth as well. Today, the powers of religion are calling for a new faith. The church, widely known as the church, is embracing the wisdom and the theology of the world. That's pretty easy to define. It's the view that humans are basically good and no one is really lost. You used to be able to talk to people on the street and consider the topic of sin, and people would readily acknowledge their sinfulness. Today, things seem to have changed drastically, where today the view of people is everybody is really pretty good, except those few odd ones that, you know, now we just take a missile and a drone strike and we get rid of them, but like Hitler and all of those terrible people. But we're basically good people today. Sin is no longer rebellion against God, it's simply ignorance. Jesus is now no more than a pattern for creative living. People will say, oh, He gave a wonderful Sermon on the Mount. We ought to live by that teaching. But they don't associate the teaching with the sovereign God who spoke those words. And salvation today is defined as liberation from oppression and oppressive social structures and so on, so that we might see freedom in our world today. Salvation has been completely disregarded, and everything is new. People adjust the gospel to fit the temporal world that we live in. And the result is no one knows what to believe anymore. The old faith of our fathers is considered out of date, like a bad carton of milk. You open the fridge door and you smell something, you think you know what it is, you go to that carton of milk, yeah, it's got to go. And today people look at our faith as kind of that old bad carton of milk. We got to get rid of it. It bothers us. We need to adjust our minds to this modern time. That old gospel will not do. We need the gospel that affects the culture and the society and the world in which we live. And so we have a world that embraces humanism in the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. We're more concerned that our message reaches people so that they overcome failure and grief and sadness. And we're more concerned in some places with that than we are concerned with telling them how to get right with an offended God. The church has not only embraced humanism, it's embraced relativism. We no longer believe in absolutes or in the truth. We tend to take time to sit together in a circle and share our feelings, idolize opinions of others while we ignore the truth and the reality that's revealed in Holy Scripture. We've adopted a relativism. We've adopted not only humanism and relativism, but we've succumbed to materialism. Everything is regarded as a product to be sold today. And we package and we try to sell the gospel to consumers. So the church is now under mass marketing techniques where it hopes that people will put their lives into the church because we've made it through mass marketing something that they will like. We want to make the consumer happy. And if we're making the consumer happy in this materialistic society, we give him a product that he will like, and they come like a flock of sheep. Lost sheep, but they still come. Not only materialism, the church has fallen to pragmatism, which is the old word that simply means if it works, it must be right. You know, the success stories that are used to prove the gospel to be true. It really worked for me. And of course, that's the person who's very successful. He might be a baseball player, a former baseball player. He might be some television personality. But people look at him and he says, it worked for me, it'll work for you. Salesmanship and pragmatism, success stories, testimonies abound today that it turns around marriages, it overcomes depression, it gives you good feelings. Whatever this world wants, we are pragmatic. If it works, let's give it to them. And that's how the church operates today. The problem with all of this is that our thinking has shifted from the God of Scripture to a focus upon ourselves and what we think must be true. We need to come back to these words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We can't have humanism, relativism, materialism, pragmatism in the church today. What we need to have in the church today is belief in the unchanging word of Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail. His word is our only hope. Truth in Christ is the truth that we must believe. Christianity must be resting upon the Christ and what he has spoken, because nothing can alter or change the eternal word of the gospel and the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. There is no such thing as a new faith or a new gospel. We hear that today. When people want to plant new churches, we need to plant a new church, and they need a new gospel. They need something that reaches them. That's pragmatism. We want to give them something that they like. That's materialism. We have adopted all of these things in the world, but we have abandoned the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing less than that is what we need today. What we need to hear from the pulpits of our churches is nothing less than the historic truth of the Jesus who said, my words will not pass away. Eternal words. Words that give us hope. Words that are words that we can rest in. An infallible Bible. A word that will not pass away. A faith that rests upon that word and stands upon that solid foundation. That's what we need in this world today, the unchanging word of the unchanging Christ. The timeless truth that God rescues sinners by amazing grace. He saves them. He brings them to himself. He calls them from darkness to light through his gospel that sets forth a Savior who was sent into the world to be the Savior of sinners. Trust in him is the message of that gospel. Only the timeless truth of God's eternal word will give us security and strength and salvation in the years that lie ahead of us. And so remember, when heaven and earth will pass away, the word of Christ and only those who believe it will enter the new heaven and the new earth, which will never pass away. We must rest in his unchanging word and in him for now and forever. Amen.